morning, everybody. Welcome to York Christian Fellowship. I'm Pastor D. I'm so glad you clicked on and are joining us. I want to start with a story. How about a good story? And anybody that knows me, I love swimming. I love the water. I love the swimming. But I do not like swimming in things that I can't see. All right. And I especially don't like when something brushes up against me when I can't see. And I have been known to let out a few shrieks. So here's my story. This past October, we were on a family vacation in Florida. And a bunch of us are out just floating. We got our floaties. We're not really deep, or, you know, you could probably stand if you wanted to. And all of a sudden, somebody, no names mentioned because I don't want to make them feel bad, somebody yells out, "I got bit. Something bit me." And with that, all of us go screaming and swimming and charging out of the water, myself included. All right. So I went back later on and I looked up, what are the odds of somebody being bitten by a shark? And you know what I found out? Listen to this. It's like 1 in 12 million people get bitten by a shark. So I decided I didn't want to figure out with a fish thing. But here's why I tell you the story. The odds of me being here today in front of a camera filming live is like being bitten by a shark. And also, you have to understand this family that I grew up in. I'm a child of Woodstocks and peace and all that stuff during the 60s and 70s. And, you know, I most likely would have been an alcoholic or a drug addict growing up where I did and when I did. But you know what? The God that I serve, the God that I worship, defied the odds in my life, and he brought me into this wonderful thing called his grace and his favor. And you may be listening today, and God has, God has defied the odds and where you could have been, the disaster and the destruction you were going on. And he reached down, he brought you into his family, he put you on a new path. So, amen. Isn't that wonderful? So that's why I'm here today. Praise God. But I also have to tell you that there have been some times in my life where I have really felt alone. And listen, to be honest, and you all should be honest, you know, those times that I have felt alone or you feel alone, you can feel completely isolated and alone. Like now, what's going on? We have been asked to, you know, many of you not go to work, stay home, don't hang out with your families. And maybe you're one of these people that lives alone on top of that. Or I have a really dear friend. She is a people person to the max. And you know, she expects a hug all the time. And this has just been really hard on her. She is feeling isolated and alone. Or how about this situation? Maybe you're going through a tough time and now you feel very alone. Or how about you had something really great that you wanted to celebrate and there's nobody to celebrate. So you're feeling this loneliness and isolated. Well, here, guys, let me tell you the good news. God desires for all of us to never be alone. That is his plan. That is his purpose, that we never stand alone. And that's what he wants from you, even in this times that we're going through right now. So here's my main idea. I always try to give you one main idea that I want you to know inside, outside, upside down, and just get it really inside of you. So if you're taking notes, write this down. It goes like this. We were created for connection. We were created for connection, but we tend to isolate. We tend to drift and isolate, okay? Now, yes, I know. We have been asked to distance and social distancing going on, all right? And yes, I know people who have some things going on in their life, in their body, rather. They've been closing the door and staying shut in and being very isolated. And some people have symptoms and they've been asked to quarantine themselves. But listen to this. We were created for connection. Isn't that awesome? So here's the cool thing. God created us for a connection, number one, with him. God created us to have a connection, number one, with him, and secondly, with each other. So yes, I know it, especially today, it's kind of natural to isolate because we've been asked to, but I've seen people do this even before all this happened, such as, well, let me say this. Anybody that's listening that's part of YCF, you know you're a part of this church. And if you're listening for the first time, we just take you in and we say, you are a part of this church. And what I really want to say on top of that is God is building his church. And I know we see signs building close, okay? But guess what? The church is not closed. This building may be closed for gathering in big groups, but the church is not closed. You know why? Because the church is people, okay? It's you, it's me, and we're coming together. That is what the church is. And the really cool thing is God is building his church. Even today, God is building his church. And I have a cool scripture, so go grab your Bibles. It's found in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody grab your Bibles. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he can, you can also take it as, and you should, he's talking to us. So it goes like this. He says, you are no longer strangers or outsiders. I love that. You belong here. I love that. So if you're joining us for the first time, guess what? You belong here, right? And this is a place. This place is a place where it doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what kind of mess that you've come in with. It just doesn't matter. You belong here. And I just want to say, welcome. You belong here. So let's continue reading. So Paul says, you belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. Isn't that cool? God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. So you see that? You're a stone, I'm a stone, and he's fitting us together because God is building his church stone by stone. Isn't that wonderful? Now, remember our main point, we were created for connection, but we can tend to drift to isolation. So let me ask you this question. How many of you are on social media? I'm pretty sure everybody nowadays, even your grandmas are on social media. And I think social media can be a really great thing. And you know, it's like you post this picture and you're on the beach and you got your little pink toenails all done and you post hashtag hot pink, hashtag all natural. You know, that's cool. I like that. But you know why it is good? Because really what it says is we are longing for connection. When we do something like that, we want to share our life with people. Because really, why do you post those pictures, right? You want to share your life with people. But here's the thing. Oftentimes I've seen this, and you will see it too, that social media will drive us to isolation. And that is not a good thing. And what happens is, you know, you post this picture, okay? And then you go back and you look at it every 2 minutes. You go back and you look at it every 2 minutes. And what are you looking at? Not the picture. You're looking at how many people connected with you. How many people gave you a thumbs up. How many people had little hearts that went floating up, okay? So the sad part about that is you might see somebody's post about this party. And obviously that didn't happen last week. But a party, and you're like, oh man, I didn't get invited to the party. They didn't invite me to the party. I can't believe this. Well, I'm just going to unfriend them. Now I know none of you have done that. but really, this can drive us to emotions that drive us to isolation, okay? And now, y'all are probably saying, yeah, you know, I agree with you, Pastor D. But really, when was the last time that you went to somebody and you said, you know, I was looking at my Instagram pictures and they posted this, this, and this, and I am just feeling darn jealous and with envy because every time I look at this person's post, they're going on these amazing vacations. But really, how many of you have ever done that? Gone to someone and said, you know, I'm kind of struggling with these feelings about this, okay? And probably not. Probably not. And what happens is you will end up distancing and becoming isolated. And really what happens is, what my mom used to say, you're in your feelings, girl. Come on, you're in your feelings. Get out of it, okay? But here's the real truth of the matter. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are a follower of Jesus, guess what? You are called to fight the drift. You are called to fight the drift, okay? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to fight the drift. And when we fight this drift into isolation and our feelings that just push people away and lock ourselves up, when we finally fight that, you can begin to live the life that God created for you to live. So, guys, this is a fight worth fighting. And I know I'm the mom. I used to tell my kids, knock it off, no fighting, don't fight with your brother and sister. But, guys, this is a fight we fight. This is a battle we fight. And the really cool thing is when you fight this battle, fight this drift, you do not fight alone. You actually fight with others, and you fight with God, who says he's always on our side. And that is awesome. It's awesome. So today, I just want to give you three ways to fight the drift. Because listen, we are called to be connected. So let me just give you three ways how to fight the drift. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Ready? Remember the faithfulness of God. So just write that down. Remember the faithfulness of God. All right? Now, everybody needs God. They might not know it yet, but they need God, okay? And probably the most important connection that you'll ever have is when you have a relationship with God, right? So the day you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus and asked him to be Lord and Savior, you had this connection with God. And it is amazing. He calls you friend. He calls you child. He calls you sons and daughters. So the day you did that, you got this amazing connection. But you know what else? The day you did that, God walks with you and you get to walk with God. God walks with you and you get to walk with God. That's just so cool. But let me say this. Let me just tip it a little bit. When we walk around this earth, we are going to run into some troubles. And some of you are in some really tough times and trouble times right now just because of what's going on. It's just been really tough. But here's the thing. When you walk through these trying situations, you have a God who says he will walk with you. He is faithful to walk with you. Praise God. Now, we did a scripture last week, Psalm 23. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's the next part? I will fear no evil because he is with me. Why? Because he will walk through me. So this is so cool. Not only is he with you, but he will be there and be faithful. So we need to remember that God is faithful. And we need to fight the drift to isolation and say, stop. I'm going to remember that my God is faithful. Everybody say, my God is faithful. He is. He is. Now, turn over to Joshua. Joshua is just a really cool story. It's in the Old Testament. Joshua comes on the scene after Moses passes away, and Joshua has become the leader, okay? So we're in Joshua, and you can open up to Joshua chapter 4. This story starts when the Israelites, the children of God, have been delivered out of Egypt. They had been slaves in bondage for 400 years, and it was just horrible. And then God delivers them, and he says to them, hey, I'm going to give you a land that's full of milk and honey and just abundant blessing. So they're given a land. It's called the Promised Land, and now they're going to go after it. They're going to go after it. And they're going after it, but because of their stubbornness and actually disobedience to God, they end up by wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, okay? They just wander through the wilderness and they start drifting. You get where I'm going? They drift around for 40 years. So 40 years comes and goes, and then they are now standing at the banks of the River Jordan. And across from them, over there, is the Promised Land. And all they have to do is walk over and walk into the Promised Land. And let me tell you guys, this is a big deal. This is really important. This is really exciting. And it's actually so important that God speaks to Joshua. And he speaks to him and he says, after you have walked over to the walk through the Jordan and crossed over, I want you to reach down and take 12 stones. I want you to reach down in the middle of that area, and I want you to take 12 stones, and I want you to place them on the other side. And the reason why he's telling them to do that, he says, I want this to be a memorial that you will remember that I was faithful. That you will remember that I'm the God that delivered you. That you will remember that I walked with you through and got you to the other side. I want you to remember my faithfulness. So we're going to pick up our story. We're reading Joshua chapter 4. Turn over, let's see, verse 21 and 22. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground.'" And what he's saying is, this is where God was faithful to them. This is where God provided for them a way to get across. So that's, now some of you are saying, "Well, that's really cool, Pastor D. That's an Old Testament scripture. I'm living in the New Testament." Okay, 1 John 1:9. Most of you may know that. If not, just write it down. 1 John 1:9. And 1 John goes like this. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some say wickedness. Just cleanse us, okay? So when you're drifting, you need to stop and remember God is faithful to forgive you all of your sins. So how many of you are really glad that God has been faithful to forgive all your mess ups? Why don't we just thank him right now? Father, we just thank you. I thank you that you have been so faithful in my life, that you have forgiven me every mess up and you have cleansed me and brought me back into this place of righteousness. Amen. So again, we are stones, right? We are stones, and he has placed us in his church, and he is building his church brick by brick, stone by stone. It's you, it's me, and we're together, right? So he has created us for connection, but we can tend to drift to isolation, but we want to fight that fight. We want to fight that drift, right? So I want to stop right now, because I recognize that there are many people, and you're reading this and you're listening to me and you think, yeah, you're thinking about those stones. You go, yeah, Pastor D, that's really cool. They had these stones and they built a memorial and they're remembering that God's been faithful to them. That's really cool. But, you know, really, I've had some times in my life where I wasn't sure if God was faithful. Has anybody ever had one of those times in your life? I have, okay? So maybe you're looking back at your life, and I'm going to do something here, object lesson, and you have this stone. You have this stone, and it's a pain of something that happened in your life, and you're carrying this stone. I'm going to put it right here, all right? You're going to carry this stone, like maybe that girl that broke your heart, that you thought you were going to marry, and she ditched out on you, and you're like, God, where was God? Where was God? Where was his faithfulness? Or let me get, maybe it was that job that you wanted and you had prayed about it and you're like, God, this is an awesome job. This is a great opportunity to have this job bless my family just in just an enormous way. And then you didn't get the job, right? You didn't get the job and you've got this, where was God? Where was God? I don't know. All right. Or how about this one? How about you trusted somebody in your life and they abused you? All right. And now you're carrying this pain, this stone around that's pain. And you're like, where was God at that moment? Or how about this one? Maybe you did it. You know, I've done some things and maybe you've did something and you were just messed up and you were going, God, I've tried to walk away from the guilt of what I did and the shame. But God, where are you being faithful to help me not carry this? Okay. So we can have all sorts of stones in our life, right? That we end up by carrying and we think, maybe you think, where was God? Where was the faithfulness of God? So what do you do when you're unsure of where was the faithfulness of God? So this is number two on how to fight the drift. Write this down. Ready? Rely on people. Write that down. Rely on people. You need to rely on God's people. Rely on God's people. Now, guys, We all need somebody. Everybody needs somebody in their life, right? I need people in my life. You need people in your life, especially if we are drifting into isolation and we're being alone and we're having these emotions, okay? So we all need people. And how many of you need people in your life or have people in your life where you just call them up and I call you vomit all over them with your words? And these are people that don't judge you. Right? Anybody have any of those people that you can just let your guts out and they don't judge you? But you need to have people in your life that also have good judgment, okay? Now, I'm not talking about having people in your life, just any old kind of people. You need to have people in your life, the right kind of people. The right kind of people. And the difference between where you are now and the where God wants you to be, the difference will be on depending on having the right people into your life, the right people that are speaking into your life and that help you remember the faithfulness of God. So we need the right people that will help us remember the faithfulness of God. So remember, everybody needs somebody, but we need to have the right people in our life. So let me give you a hypothetical, okay? I'm kind of making this up, but suppose you have a friend and they come up to you and say, hey, you know, man, I have just been struggling with pornography. I've been struggling with it for years and I'm ready to quit and I just need some help. And you're like, oh man, okay, man, that's really good. I'm glad you decided that. Let's do this together. So you ask them, who are the people? Who are your people in your life? And they say, oh, man, I got my bros back from high school. You know, we got our back. We've been doing life together. I got them. And you go, well, that's really cool. Are they godly people? Are they followers of Jesus? You may have these guys in your life, but are they followers of Jesus? And they're like, well, you know, not really, kind of, sort of. You know, we all kind of struggle together in the same thing. And you're like, whoa, those are the wrong people that you have in your life. You need to get to the right people in your life so they can help you through this, right? So right people that speak into your life. And I just want to say, maybe you're here listening and this one's for you. You might have some people in your life that you think you're like this, but you might have to cut them off because they're putting wrongs. They're not helping you, all right? They're not helping you. And you need to have probably hit the block button or the unfollow button, and you need to start getting some right people in your life. Right people in your life. So let me give you a scripture. It's found in Proverbs. Proverbs is just so much fun to read. I really enjoy it. It's got all these little golden nuggets. You don't have to read a whole chapter. So this is Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7, and it goes like this. The words of the wise are like the weapons of knowledge. If you need wise counsel, stay away from the fool. Stay away from the fool. And you know, probably your mama said, hey, you need to stay away from him. He's a fool. Anybody ever have that? And what we're saying is you need to let go of that person in your life, and you need to have the right people in your life. And right now you're like, oh yeah, I get it, Pastor D. You're right. I hear you. You're right. I need to do. There's just people in my life and they're just not putting me in the right direction. So then your next question is, well, how do I find the right people? And I'm going to say, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. All right. Let me tell you three ways to fight the drift and have the right people in your life. Ready? Number one, especially if you're in this church, you already know this, or any church, you're connected there. Number one, serve. Begin to serve. And you know what that means? It means get on a team here and get on a schedule right here. And you know, the reason why is you need to have people around you that are going in the right direction. Now, I will tell you, people are messy in church, out of church, and we're not perfect. There should be a big sign. Do not enter if you're perfect, okay? But listen, we need to surround ourselves with people. And if you're in this church especially, you can surround yourself with people that will help you go in the right direction, all right? And here's the second one, and you know I'm going to say this. Ready? You need to be in a grow group. That means a small group. And the reason why you need to be in a grow group is because you need to have a community of people around you. You need to have people around you, and you need to meet consistently. Yep, because what they're going to do, if you're meeting consistently, they're going to encourage you, and you're going to have some accountability. And listen, I do better with accountability, for sure. Okay, so some of you are sitting here thinking like, check, I did the first one. I serve at my church. Check, I'm in a small group. So here's number three. Write this one down. You need to get real. What do I mean? Yes, you come and you serve, and you're on an usher team or whatever team, and you serve, and yep, you're in a small group, but you're not real. You know, I see this all the time. You come into your little group, and everybody goes, hey, how was your week? Oh, glory to God, it was just wonderful, and you got this cheesy smile on, and you're not real with people. You need to be real with people and tell them what's going on. Okay, tell them what's going on. And I'm telling you what, if you find your people and you take that first step, I will guarantee that stone, that trouble, that pain, that you will lay it down, and you will have God with you. You will have people with you. And remember, God is building his church stone by stone. Okay. And we were created for connection, and we do not want to drift into isolation. All right. So remember, we need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to rely on other people, God's people around us. And here's the last one. If you're taking notes, write this down. We need to release the power of your story. You need to release the power of your story. Okay, so what do I mean by that? First off, everybody needs God. Everybody needs somebody, but somebody needs you. I'm going to say that again. Everybody needs God. Everybody needs somebody, but somebody needs you. Praise God. So now let me just say this. You are not just any old stone, right? You're just not any old stone. You actually all have a story, and a story that's probably very powerful for somebody else. So let me tell you a story. How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? Probably most of you know that. All right, so I'm just going to give you the fast version. So here we have Goliath. He's this mighty warrior. He's this giant, okay? And he comes up to God's people, and he defies God's people and the one and true living God. And he starts to challenge. Matter of fact, he starts challenging the army, the Israel army that have all assembled. And he says, who's going to fight me? And everybody's backing up. No, nobody wants to fight him. He's the mighty warrior, the giant. And then one day, David shows up. David, the shepherd boy, this teenage shepherd boy. He shows up with lunch for his brothers because his dad sent him. I always feel like it's like the food truck showed up here that day. And you know what I love about this story? This story, it doesn't matter how old you are. Whatever age you are, guys, you have a story, and your story can help somebody. So David shows up and he says, I'll fight this guy. I can't believe he's insulting my people. He's insulting my guy. I'll take him on. So the story goes on. David goes over to the stream and he picks up 5 smooth stones, puts them in his shepherd's bag, and he takes out one stone. And he puts it in his sling, and he swings it around, and he swings it around, and he swings around, and he launches it, and it hits Goliath smack in the head, and he just hits the ground. And David runs up, and he picks up Goliath's sword, and he chops his head off, and he declares victory for his people, victory for his God. So y'all know that story? But you know what I love about this story? Goliath wasn't David's personal giant. Think about that. He wasn't defying David. He wasn't defying David. He was defying David's people and David's God. And you see, when you're my people, your giant becomes my giant, and we're going to take them down together. Amen? So how many of you know what sea glass is? Like you can go to the ocean and you aside from picking up shells, you'll see these pretty colored stones, and they're actually sea glass. And sea glass started out as a bottle that got broken, a trash, and it ends up in the ocean, and the waves and the currents smash down, and it ends up by making this smooth, smooth. And they're actually really pretty when you find them, and some people think they have value, worth, okay? So they become these smooth glass, sea glass, okay? So here's my thing to you. Just maybe all the pain that you've had in your life, by the grace of God, the grace of his word that washed over you, your stone, your pain now is a story that you need to release to somebody else's life. Just suppose, right? So how about this? How about maybe that addiction that almost took you down has now become, because of God in your life, has now become a way to help somebody else in their story. Or that divorce that you didn't think you'd recover with, that now becomes a story that you walk through that you can help somebody else walk through. Or how about this? How about that miscarriage that just crushed your heart? You never thought you'd survive and you did. And how about now that has become your story that you can help others? So you see, your story has power. Everybody, you all have a story, and your story has power, and we need to release the power of our story, okay? So maybe your story, when you release it, can help somebody else take down their giant. And I have to tell you, I can't even remember all the people that God brought into my life and the power of their story that helped me take down the giant in my life, right? And now, here's years later, and I get to release the power of my story, and I get to help people take down the giant together in their life. So, when you walk with God, when you walk with others, guess what? He's bringing you opportunities that to use the power of your story to help people take down the giants in their life. So, guys, we were created to be connected. And God wants to bring us together. God's building his church stone by stone, okay? And you need to release your story to help people take down the giants, amen? So how about you remember that God's faithful to his word, God is faithful, and that we can rely on people, and that you have a story that you need to release. Praise God. And when you do that, I want to tell you, you will never walk alone. God will be with you. You'll have people with you, and you get to help people release their story also. So that's, guys, I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that your word is going to just, we're going to take it, and we're going to take the stories that you're giving us now, and we're going to help people through their giants. And guys, remember, you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are blessed going in, and we are blessed going out. You guys have a great week. Don't forget to tune in next Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. We got something special planned. And don't forget to continue to be generous in your tithes and offerings. Have a wonderful week.